very good Tuesday. Welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature agricultural news reports, I'll bring you a look at national and regional agricultural news headlines, and I'll start with regional ag news right after this.
Get ready for the 2023 Crop Consultant Conference in Visalia, California on September 27th and 28th, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors. This two-day event will feature a combined 44 hours of live and online continuing education units for attendees in the heart of California, a trade show, first-class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. Come join CCAs, PCAs, growers, and industry professionals at the Visalia Convention Center to hear from researchers and colleagues on the latest in agriculture. Registration is now open at progressivecrop.com/conference.
Great production out of the Central California area is underway, albeit with a later start. Like everything else, they're about 2 weeks behind where they normally are, according to Justin Bedwell of Berry Produce, noting that cooler spring temperatures are behind the delay. Usually they get going out of Central California for grapes right after the 4th of July, and they're actually just starting with the reds and the greens and some of the specialty grapes. With the industry in California estimated to have a similar volume to last year in table grapes, Berry Produce will as well, even with the removal of some of the older varieties. Some new varieties are taking their place. On red seedless grapes, it's starting with the industry standard Flame, an older but good eating grape. Up next will be the Passion Fire grapes and then the Chrissy grapes, both larger and newer varieties of red seedless grapes. On green grapes, it will start with Ivory and then move into the Great Green variety and then Sweet Globe, all of which are also newer varieties. The late start for Central California also follows the late start that Mexico saw on its grape season. Usually they get a break between Mexico and Central California, and this year that is not the case, according to Bedwell. He says they will be crossing grapes later than they have ever been, and that will put a little bit of pressure or create a split market on Mexican and California grapes right now. As for demand, it is described as okay. Given the presence still of Mexican grapes in the marketplace, the Central California season has not started out with the momentum it usually does. Usually when they start in a new district, demand is greater than supply, but now it's keeping up with what they have, he says. However, they're just starting, so he's hoping they will have more packages and it will pick up. That said, Asian markets are reportedly excited about California grapes getting underway, and Berry Produce will start shipping there soon. That should help move the volume on the early crop, he said. Domestically, August is usually a bit of a transition month when people take vacations and buyers are gone, so the domestic supply will be good for the next month. As for pricing, it is similar to last year at this time, with the way Mexico is going a bit later and the way that they're behind. They are just trying to get the market set so it can move the crop and get it going, according to Bedwell. Fertilizers refers to soil enriching input that contains one or more plant nutrients, primarily nitrogen, phosphate, and potash. For the 2022 crop year, nitrogen was the most widely applied nutrient for all three featured vegetable crops, measured as a percent of planted acres. Potash was the second most commonly applied nutrient. Those vegetable crops include snap peas, squash, and sweet corn. The pesticide active ingredients used on vegetables are classified as herbicides, insecticides, fungicides, and other chemicals that target all other pests and all other materials, excluding extraneous crop foliage. Snap bean growers applied herbicides to more acres at 78% than insecticides or fungicides that were used on squash. Squash growers applied fungicides and insecticides to 69 and 63% of planted acres, respectively. The survey asked growers to report on the practices they use to manage pests, including weeds, insects, and diseases. Vegetable growers reported practices in four categories of pest management strategy, widely referred to as PAMS, which is prevention, avoidance, monitoring, and suppression. The most widely used prevention practice for selected vegetables was cleaning equipment and implements after field work, used on 77% of planted acres. The top avoidance practice was rotating crops at 82%. Scouting for disease was the most widely reported monitoring practice, used on 98% of vegetable planted acres. The suppression practice of using pesticides with different mechanisms of action to keep pests from becoming resistant to pesticides was used on 57% of total acres. Ocean Mist Farms, the leading grower and marketer of fresh artichokes in North America, has announced the addition of Kate Burr to their team as Director of Food Safety and Quality Assurance. Burr brings with her tremendous experience and a commitment to the high standards that Ocean Mist Farms practices in their food safety and quality assurance programs, according to the company. Prior roles for Burr have included positions at Marcon Cooperative and Church Brother Farms in Salinas, where she was involved in multiple facets of food safety and compliance throughout the supply chain, as well as traceability and food safety recall programs. A native of the Pacific Northwest, Burr holds a Bachelor's of Science in Public Health from Oregon State University. She sits on the International Fresh Produce Association Food Safety Council, as well as serving as Secretary of the Western Growers Food Safety Advisory Subcommittee. In addition to overseeing the quality assurance, food safety, and sustainability departments in her new role, Burr will also be responsible for managing facility and field standard operating procedures according to good agricultural practices and good manufacturing practices, among other international standards and customer requirements. She will also champion and oversee the sustainability program to meet the environmental stewardship goals of Ocean Mist Farms and implement and oversee internal and third-party audits, including field and facility inspections. Fire crews in California are getting ready to see some relief in the form of a shorter work week. As of now, they have over 12,000 firefighter positions in Cal Fire, that according to John Byrne, Cal Fire Assistant Chief. He says it's a strategy that aims to retain firefighters who have a grueling job. Cal Fire is changing their system to get more people in uniform. He says our firefighters are making around $100,000 a year. They have an increase in staffing for Cal Fire. Over the past few weeks, there have been two fires a day between Monterey and San Benito County. Despite the heavy work, being fully staffed has been critical to stopping these fires. Most fires, they have kept less than 10 acres. A few of them went a little bit larger than that, but just having their men and women rested and having good responses and good communication, early detection of the fires has made a difference, according to Byrne. Although Cal Fire is not providing resources to help battle the Canadian fires, the U.S. Forest Fire Service locally was able to send resources to California by sending equipment over to Canada.
We're waking up to a new dawn in agriculture, a better way, where farmers stop working the soil and start working with it. At Huma, our carbon-rich, humate-based products improve soil health and fertility, deliver nutrients more efficiently, and reduce crop input costs. Welcome to Humic Solutions with a Human Touch. Visit huma.us to learn more.
Citricola scale is a pest that citrus growers in the San Joaquin Valley have to think about, but it's not feared as much as, say, mealybug or even red scale, due to it not always being present each year. Additionally, citricola scale only have one generation in a season, so if you see a population, you know that you won't see more during a different part of the season. UCCE Citrus IPM advisor Sandeepa Gautam said, however, that citricola scale sightings are up this year due to the cool, wet winter and spring.
It's mostly a problem when we have a wet, cool spring like the one we have had. And I think this year there are lots of groups that have citricola scale. Some of the growers are treating for it as well. The reason to why it's more of a problem in wet, cool spring and summer is because low temperature allows for the adults to survive and also the eggs to hatch and for the nymphs to survive. So when the temperature is mild, there is high survival of insects. The first instars especially, and that kind of builds up towards the end of the season. It's present in the citrus orchards year round. It's a soft scale insect. In March, April, when the season begins, we have egg-laying females in orchards. They stay as egg-laying females until May, late April, early May, could go on to June, and start producing eggs in June. And those eggs again, all of this is temperature dependent. If it's the temperature is higher, we see egg hatch starting in May, but then that lasts through the end of July. Right now, right about now, we are in third week of July, and most of the population consists of first instar. And citricola scale don't have males, and they reproduce parthenogenetically. So they just go through the development, molt as adults, emerge as adults in the beginning of the season, feed, and then in May, June, they start producing eggs, which hatch into crowlers a couple of weeks later. And then those crowlers move to the outer canopy leaves and start feeding on the leaves and produce a lot of honeydew. So if you, another sign of, citricola scale presence in your orchards is you're going to start seeing when you walk up to the tree, it looks wet. Because the fustian starts feed and produce a lot of honeydew. And later in the season, sooty mold develops on those honeydew and your leaves will start turning blackish in color.
Again, citricola scale is only a problem in the San Joaquin Valley. It is very sensitive to organophosphates and carbamates, if not resistant, and generally does not become a problem until growers stop using these insecticides for control of other pests, according to UCIPM guidelines. Check for citricola scale at all times of the year when monitoring for other scales, but look especially closely at the twigs in April and at the undersides of leaves in late July around this time.
There is a very simple way to monitor it. Just reach 1 foot into the tree, randomly pull 5 leaves and look for first instars on leaf. They depends on the population. If the population pressure is high, they'll be on both sides of the leaves. But if the population pressure is low, they would be present on the lower side of the leaf. One of the very important thing point to remember while monitoring for first instars is to determine if they're live or dead, because they could die of many natural causes. They could die of other insecticide application targeted for, say, thrips or ready scale. So when you're sampling and to make a treatment decision, it's important to determine if they're live or not. And it can be done very easily. Using hand lens is always helpful. So live first instar citricola scale would look somewhat translucent in color and is somewhat shiny. And you can clearly see the legs through the body, whereas dead citricola scale nymph looks shriveled, somewhat like Rice Krispies.
Because one female can produce up to 1,000 eggs, the treatment threshold for citricola scale is fairly low, according to Gautam. Insecticides and biological control are appropriate control measures, and good coverage is key as this pest resides on the inside of the canopy.
Insect growth regulator bupropion has been shown to be very effective against citricola scale. There are products like SL, Actara, Sevanto, Seven, which are also effective. So timing also determines, which products works best or not. And right about now, for up to 3-4 weeks, is a good time to make an application targeted on citricola scale. One of the important things to remember is because this is a inside canopy pest, citricola scale likes to be present in the interior of the tree. Coverage is very important. So 750 or higher, 750 gallons per acre, around that, at least more than 500 GPA per acre, and driving slowly, adding adjuvants to improve coverage are helpful.
You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Charlstrom.
This segment was sponsored by Polymer Ag, makers of Anti-Stress 550, the climate stress solution. Find out more at polymerag.com.
USDA has launched a partnership with bipartisan attorneys general in 31 states and the District of Columbia to enhance competition and protect consumers in food and agricultural markets. Through this agreement, the partnership will assist the state attorneys general in tackling anti-competitive market structures in agriculture and related industries that are raising prices and limiting choices for consumers and producers. Through these cooperative agreements, they can ensure a more robust and competitive agricultural sector, according to USDA Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack. He says he's happy to see that a bipartisan group of states is committed to joining USDA in better protecting the fair and competitive markets that are a critical cornerstone of the American economy. Areas of focus for the agricultural competition partnership include anti-competitive market structures and practices. Areas of focus for the agricultural competition partnership include anti-competitive market structures and practices, as well as price gouging and other anti-consumer practices in food, retail, meat, and poultry processing. There will also be a focus on lack of choices for consumers and producers. President Biden has announced some new initiatives to boost competition and discourage consolidation in the food and agriculture sector. USDA Ag News reporter Gary Crawford.
At the White House Wednesday,
capitalism without competition isn't capitalism, it's exploitation.
And with those words, President Biden announced a number of executive actions designed
to increase competition and lower costs for American households.
And in the food and agriculture arena, the president said the Agriculture Department,
together with bipartisan attorneys general in 31 states and the District of Columbia, are ramping up enforcement of antitrust and consumer protection laws in food and in agriculture.
Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack said the overall goal of that effort, very plain,
crackdown on anti-competitive and anti-consumer practices that raise prices at the grocery store and deprive farmers of a fair return.
Vilsack said USDA is also continuing its efforts to promote construction of new meat processing facilities and fertilizer production plants, and also to create more and better local and regional markets for farmers to sell to. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Washington Representative Dan Newhouse, the Congressional Western Caucus, and the House Committee on Natural Resources have launched the Endangered Species Act Working Group. The new group will look into how the Endangered Species Act is being implemented by federal agencies, the practical impacts on the American people, how litigation is driving ESA decision-making, and how success is currently defined under the Act. The group intends to publish a series of policy recommendations that reform the ESA to the benefit of American people and species conservation. He says it's clear the ESA desperately needs reform, not just for the sake of the species, but for the people who are negatively impacted because of its land use restrictions, impact on property values, and costly permitting requirements. Hundreds of species are listed under the Act, but only 3% have been delisted. Clearly, something is not working, according to Natural Resources Chair Bruce Westerman of Arkansas. House Republicans recently commemorated the Endangered Species Act's 50th anniversary more with side eye than champagne. In an afternoon hearing pointedly subtitled The Destructive Cost of the ESA, GOP lawmakers repeatedly assailed the landmark environmental law, at least as it is currently being put into practice. The complaints outnumbered any specific legislative fixes, though those are reportedly coming. After 50 years of the ESA and untold billions of expenditures paid many times by small communities and families, and not the nation, and with questionable benefits, it is definitely time to come up with a better plan, according to Representative Cliff Bentz, a Republican from Oregon. Bentz, who chairs the Natural Resources Subcommittee on Water, Wildlife, and Fisheries, said soon they will introduce amendments to the Act that will improve its protection of the species without destroying people and communities, without costing more money than they can possibly find. Bentz convened the afternoon hearing to lay groundwork with a litany of familiar criticisms that have previously prompted repeated failed Republican efforts to significantly rewrite the 1973 law. The enumerated costs range from direct government expenditures to reduced property values, higher utility rates, and the imposition of regulatory burdens. AgroFresh Solutions Incorporated, an ag tech innovator in post-harvest produce freshness solutions, has announced the acquisition of Tessera, a post-harvest solutions provider from global investment firm Carlyle, who acquired majority ownership of Tessera in 2018. The acquisition expands AgroFresh's footprint in food waste reduction and freshness solutions for table grapes and berries, and bolsters the organization's impact in growing regions in South Africa, China, Australia, and South America. Clint Lewis, CEO at AgroFresh, says that completing this transaction with Tessera creates significant opportunities for AgroFresh to build upon their diversification strategy and further support customers in their efforts to grow and distribute an abundant supply of sustainable fresh produce around the world. Established in 1988 in South Africa, Tessera has since grown to become a leader in post-harvest preservation solutions, which it provides to fresh produce growers worldwide, according to the company. And AgroFresh has been a pioneer in post-harvest technology for over 20 years and got its start with the commercialization of the Smart Fresh Quality System, the industry-leading post-harvest solution to maintain produce freshness and quality, which is now used in over 50 countries across multiple crops, according to company information. USDA Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Agricultural Affairs Alexis Taylor will lead an agribusiness trade mission to Malaysia and Singapore from October 30th through November 3rd. The Foreign Ag Service is accepting applications from U.S. exporters wanting to take part in a trade mission. Malaysia and Singapore are important markets in their efforts to diversify prospects for U.S. food and agricultural exports in Southeast Asia, according to Taylor. These markets provide both a source of stability for American exports and a tremendous opportunity to further expand U.S. trade in a region. She also says consumer demand for American products in both countries is on the rise, making this agribusiness trade mission extremely timely. America's agricultural and related product exports to Malaysia reached $1.13 billion in 2022. U.S. agricultural exports to Singapore grew 190% between 2012 and 2022, reaching a record $1.4 billion in 2022. For more information or to apply, go to usda.gov. The National FFA Organization has announced the 16 finalists for its 2023 Top Achievement Awards. The awards include the American Star Farmer, American Star in Agribusiness, American Star in Agricultural Placement, and the American Star in Agriscience. The American Star Awards represent the best of the best among thousands of American FFA degree recipients. The award recognizes FFA members who have developed outstanding agricultural skills and competencies by completing a supervised agricultural experience program. A required activity, the SAE, allows members to learn by doing. Members can own and operate an agricultural business, intern at an agricultural business, or conduct an agriculture-based scientific experience and report the results. Other requirements for receiving an award include demonstrating top management skills, completing key agricultural education, scholastic and leadership requirements, and earning an American FFA degree, the organization's highest level of student accomplishment. For more information about the American Star Awards, go to ffa.org/stars.
Agroplante is the leading manufacturer in specialty products. Agroplante formulates products that rise to the challenge of today's growing conditions. Saline and sodic soils reduce crop yield and cause significant crop losses. Agroplante developed Cation EX5 Plus with growers in mind to manage soil salinity. With multiple years of research, Cation EX5 Plus has proven to be an excellent source of calcium and an effective soil salinity manager. Run it through drip irrigation without any issues. Simplify your application method with innovative and efficient formulations. Alleviate salinity stress with Cation EX5 Plus. Agroplante, imagination, innovation, science in action.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.